Welcome to the Vintage Church Podcast. Vintage Church is passionate about living the gospel, serving the city, and being the church through individuals, community groups, and gatherings in New Orleans and beyond. For more information, visit VintageChurchNOLA.com. Here is this week's message from our lead pastor, Rob Wilton.
All right, as we wrap up our Dreamer series, I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. God desires for each of us to dream big dreams for God's glory. God desires each of us to dream big dreams for God's glory. If you don't have a Bible, lift up your hand. We'd love to get you a copy of the Word of God. If you don't own one, please take this as a gift from our church to you. We believe there's nothing greater in all the world that you can do than to open up God's Word, read it, and apply it in your life. Still got some hands up, Connect team. Let's get some Bibles out. Let's make sure we get that to everybody that needs a Bible this morning. Well, we have had an incredible series. And as I've heard from some of you this summer, I've heard that God has birthed some incredible big dreams in your life. And so we have learned, especially last week, to not be so obsessed with a destination, right? That we miss out on the journey. We're called to embrace the journey. And I hear you on that. Thank you so much for the pep talk, Matthew Weaver, last week. You did a great job. But if I can just keep it real with you guys today, sometimes I want the destination. Anybody else want the destination? I mean, that sounds wonderful. That's just be patient and wait for, the destination to come, and we're missing out on all that God has for us here in this place while we're waiting on getting there. But can we just be honest? We all want the destination. We want that big dream. We want that thing to come into our lives. Well, our message today is going to speak about what we should do when we are here in this moment, okay? And everybody agree, are you here in this moment? Maybe you hadn't had as much dark roast coffee as I've had. And so if you haven't, maybe go outside and then come back in. I got one more hit after I'd already had three cups this morning before I got here. And so whatever it takes for you to be here, what happens here in this moment? And when you're here in this moment and you hear a clear word from God about there, okay? What do you do in between here in this moment and there? I've just been on the road for the last month. Heard a lot from the back of our car. Are we there yet? Daddy, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And so we're not just going to talk about the here right now. We're not going to talk about the there. We're going to talk about the not there yet, okay? And we're going to look at that together in the book of Isaiah. Now, as we've done throughout this series, let me give us a context to the book of Isaiah. We're eventually going to look in Isaiah chapter 6 first, and then we're going to look in Isaiah chapter 9. The book of Isaiah is probably the most well-known of the prophetic books. It's the first of the latter or the major prophets, okay? And so how many of you guys enjoyed the throwback series that Pastor Dustin Turner has put together for us? And if you've missed that, listen, all of it's online. We're wrapping that up tonight. Listen, I've got my card here. This is my cheat sheet helping us understand the Old Testament. And so you want to make sure you check out all those things tonight. It'll be at 6:30. And so you don't want to miss this moment to dive into. Listen, so much. Pastor Dustin shares the purpose of Isaiah is simply to demonstrate the trustworthiness of the Lord. And so the book of Isaiah is filled out with tons of incredible things. It contains a lot of factual content about the society of Israel around 700 BC. And although you're going to find in this some declarations about the future, you're also going to find Isaiah speaking to the present. He calls out from the Lord's call to the people of Israel. He calls them out for their sin, but he also proclaims that God's going to sustain these people through their sin. Anyone in the house thankful that God sustains us through our sin? And so if you want a brief summary, Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, what he does is he begins to talk about the people's sin. Then he talks about how God's glory is going to sustain them through that sin. And there is a proclamation of a coming Messiah. Now, Isaiah was the son of Amos. His name means Yahweh is salvation. He was married. He had two sons. You're going to find that after a life of faithfulness, Isaiah was actually killed by a king. Justin Martyr wrote that Isaiah was sawed asunder by a saw. And so we're going to find a lot of things about Isaiah. But in this specific passage, we're going to find a time of here and a proclamation of there. And we're going to learn some principles that God gives through his servant Isaiah that are going to teach us about this season of not there yet. And I pray that this is an encouragement to us, because when we go and study what's happening in the book of Isaiah, there's a lot of political struggle, there's spiritual decline. And so Isaiah is called by God to deliver a message to the people who are in Judah. His message was that they should trust in God, who had promised them a glorious kingdom through Moses and David. And Isaiah urges the nation not to rely on anything except God. And so just to kind of give you a little glimpse as to where we're going today, where should we be in between the here and there? We should be with God. I pray you're with God. I pray you're at a place in your life where you've trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want you to know that Jesus is here. He loves you so much. And in just a few moments, I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus. And so the first five chapters, go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. We're going to read together. But the first five chapters of Isaiah are a description of the sin of his people. And then we come to Isaiah 6, where God commissions his servant Isaiah by giving them a big dream. Let's read. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And the one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. And I am a man of unclean lips, and I will dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Verse 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" What an amazing passage of scripture. Most likely one that you have read before. In this text, we see Isaiah getting a picture of heaven. And in this vision, he sees the Lord seated upon his throne in glory. He hears the amazing sounds of heaven. And then he cries out, because when you experience God in this way, you realize how great God is and how not so great you are. Because our God is far greater than any one of us, than anything of this world. And so this heaven now comes and speaks to Isaiah and calls out to Isaiah. And Isaiah heeds the voice of God and volunteers. Man, This series has been a fun series. I want to do a quick recap before we jump into this passage in Isaiah. And so we've been on this journey, and God has been birthing some big dreams in our hearts for God's glory. In week one, we looked at the life of Moses. We saw how we get to watch God exceed our limits, right? Isn't it a fun thing to watch God exceed your limits? In fact, I would go ahead and tell you, for those of you who are scared to death by the dream that God has put upon your heart because you know you can't do it, you're right in the middle of a move of God. Because God wants to do something that He alone gets the glory for. And so God would never give you something that you can do. God's in the business of exceeding our limits. In week two, we looked at Habakkuk, and we talked about receiving God's vision and positioning us in the right place to receive God's vision. Week three, we looked at Abraham, Johnny McCann. He came and preached about surrendering it all and looked at Abraham. And then we looked at the life of David. Dr. Dustin Turner spoke about the importance of thanking God. And then Joseph. We looked at the life of Joseph, and our V students leader, Micah, he came and he preached to us about dreaming through challenges. And then Nehemiah, if I can just, I'm kind of partial to Brick, but I believe Brick, he preached the best sermon of the series. I'm just going to tell you straight up. But in the book of Nehemiah, we looked at life of Nehemiah and how we're called to work faithfully all the way to the end. And then the life of Esther last week, Matthew Weaver talked about embracing the journey. So this week in Isaiah, I want us to consider this. Would you consider today anticipating God's dream? Would you consider today anticipating God's dream? What to do in between the here and the there? I want us to consider this story and this life of Isaiah and this prophecy, and I want us to consider today anticipating God's dream. Isaiah models for us the perfect response to God's big dream. The first thing Isaiah does, it says right there that he responds, "Here I am, send me." Answer God's dream. When God gives you a dream, answer it. Obey it. That's what we read about in Isaiah chapter 6. The second thing we learn from Isaiah is share God's dream. And so when you go and you study, we don't have time to look at it today, but in chapter 7 and chapter 8, you find Isaiah sharing God's dream. Some of you guys are letting the enemy win because God has spoken to you and you're keeping it to yourself. You want accountability in your life? Go public with it. Now, if I could just keep it real, when I try and lose weight, when I tell everybody I'm trying to lose weight, I don't lose weight. Some things you need to keep to yourself, right? And I'm just keeping it real. But whatever dream is on your heart, you want true accountability in your life, speak it out. Get it out in the open. Call trusted brothers and sisters in Christ. Form a life group and say, this is something God's put upon my heart. I've got to answer it. I've got to be obedient to it. And so Isaiah begins to share God's dream. An example of that is in Isaiah 7:14, where he declares the coming of the Messiah. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." But then thirdly, as we're going to see in Isaiah chapter 9, anticipate God's dream. Anticipate God's dream. And so just because you share it publicly doesn't mean that everything's happened, right? There's some work to do. There's some waiting to do. There's some things that have to evolve. There's some hard work. And so what are we to do in between the here and the not there yet? Over the last month, we saw, because we kept up with it, my family and I drove about 3,000 plus miles, went all over, really, the South. I spoke, I think, 24 times in the last month, different camps, different locations, began my journey in Orlando with this new church and all these different things. And as we were driving, we stayed in a few hotels. Well, I saw this one quote in this one hotel by the CEO of the hotel. And this is what this quote said: "Your mental attitude is far more important than your mental capacity." Your mental attitude is far more important than your mental capacity. What's that speaking about? I believe it's speaking about what I want to drive home today, this anticipation. If God has birthed a big dream in your heart, may I declare to you, it's worth it. It's worth it. The wait is worth it. The struggle is worth it. The prize will be worth it. It's not always going to feel that way. There's a lot going on in my life right now where things aren't exactly the way in which I envision them to be. But it's worth it. And it's not worth it because of what you think. It's worth it because God has given you his dream. God-sized dreams are worth it. And so when God plants a big vision upon your heart, upon your life, you can live in such a way that you anticipate God's dream. And so let's talk practically today. This is going to be simple stuff, but it's so important. And I want you to know, as I'm prepared to preach to you today, God, yes, I hope, would somehow use me to encourage you, but I've already been encouraged and it was worth it for me. And so if none of y'all showed up today and I just had to preach to Pastor Brick, it would have been worth it because he's been encouraging me in this season of my life where I am here and I know there, but I'm not there yet, okay? And so how do we anticipate God's dream? Number one, may I submit to you from the book of Isaiah chapter 9, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. How do you anticipate God's dream? Look to Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 3, here comes a prophecy. It says, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Verse 3, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. And so I know when you read some of the Old Testament, this is why it's so important for you to go back and listen to some of Pastor Dustin's teaching on the Old Testament, because the Old Testament's difficult to understand. Let me explain some of what's happening here in these passages. In these verses, Isaiah speaks of the coming deliverer who will affect the changes in the nation of which the prophet had been speaking. This coming Emmanuel that he spoke of in Isaiah chapter 7. The Messiah's coming will lead the nation into joy. Joy is a big theme in Isaiah. Into prosperity, not the kind of prosperity that's all for ourselves, but the kind of prosperity that's promised from God. And that had been lacking in this moment in the nation, in the people of Israel's life. There had not been joy. There had not been prosperity. And so this declaration was going to be a declaration of deliverance. Now, his coming, the Messiah's coming, will fulfill the promises to Abraham and to David about a prosperous kingdom. And this child, this Emmanuel, this Jesus, will grow up, will come into the world, and will grow up to be the deliverer. Not a sign of the deliverance, but the actual deliverer himself. He will affect the changes. Move this country away from darkness to delight. You want to anticipate God's dream? May I submit to you in this season? And I don't know if any of y'all can relate to these seasons between the here and the there. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Some of y'all are allowing the enemy to rob you of joy because you've looked at the wind and the waves instead of the one who controls the wind and the waves. Look to Jesus. Why should we look to Jesus? Because in this region, listen, as it's prophesied, Jesus would eventually come and fulfill this prophecy. Look in Matthew chapter 4. And Matthew in chapter 4, Jesus enters the same region after the arrest of John the Baptist, and he begins his ministry declaring to the world, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Listen, why do we look to Jesus? Because Jesus is hope. Jesus is hope. As I shared with you as we drove around, we heard quite a few times, "Are we there yet?" from our kids. I don't think my daughter knew that phrase before this trip, but now she knows it. And so she's asking that as we drive from Lakeview to Metairie now. Are we there yet? And so as we traveled, just to let you know, we had some fun. We went to Orlando, and then we went to the beach with family, and then we went up to the mountains, and then we went to near Atlanta, and then we went to the middle of nowhere, Talladega, home of NASCAR, literally middle of nowhere. And but at every place, we had a lot of fun together. And so here's what ended up happening with our kids. Yes, they kept asking, "Are we there yet?" But it moved away from like this, "I'm bothered that we're not there yet," to an anticipation of, "Are we there yet?" Because when we went to Orlando, there was a lot of fun in Orlando. And then when we went to the beach, there was a lot of fun at the beach. It was just different, surfing and all that. And then by the time we go to the third place, "Hold on, kids, it's another 5-hour drive. We got to get there." When they got to the mountains, and I was speaking for the FCA leadership camp, and they got to, you know, play basketball and swim and do hikes and all this kind of stuff, man, they got really excited. And then we said, "We're going to a place called Atlanta." And then, man, we got there and people started to spoil us, and we ate ice cream and we stayed up way too late. And then we went to the last place, and in the last place, Bolt got blobbed up in the air, and we went down big slides, and we had a lot of fun, and we stayed up way too late. Every single place we went to, our kids began to trust. Now follow me. Listen, when your destination ain't all that, your questions are like, "Are we there yet?" But the kids changed from a, "Are we there yet?" to a, "Are we there yet? Daddy, are we there yet? What's going to be next?" They were a little disappointed when we got home. No more blob there. And my pool is dead. I mean, let's just be honest. Y'all had some rain down here. My pool is dead. I think my house is the reason for the mosquito problem right now. And so I'm just telling you, are we there yet? Are you with me? Listen, look to Jesus. When you see Jesus as your destination, when you look to him in the dream, your "Are we there yet?" question isn't like a, "Oh, are we there yet?" It's an, "Are we there yet?" Jesus is hope. Jesus is our hope. And we make him our prize when we look to him. Man, we have some incredible anticipation in our life. His ways are perfect. His promise is true. His destination is worth it. Keep your hope in him. Keep your hope in him. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13 through 17 speaks of this. Fast forward all the way to verse 16. In verse 16, it says, "Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples." And then Isaiah says this, "I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will hope in him." Jesus is worth it. He's worth the wait. Look to Jesus, because Jesus is hope. Which brings us to the second point. Because Jesus is hope, secondly, trust in him. Trust in him. Let's not just look to Jesus. Let's trust in Jesus. In verse 4 and verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire." Anyone else confused by that? Let me explain. Here in this text, it talks about how God the Father, okay, will be the one to lead the people from spiritual darkness into light by sending his son, Jesus. And so as this is being explained, you will see that this light will increase the joy of the people. You show me someone in this world that has tapped into Jesus, who's trusted in Jesus, and I'll show you someone who has joy. Now, don't buy the Facebook lie joy, that fake joy, my kids are perfect joy, the let's be churchy on Sunday and smile to each other and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, joy, that's fake. Joy, I'm talking deep-rooted joy, the kind of joy, right, that passes our comprehension, that passes our understanding, the joy that's not based upon my circumstances, the joy that's deep within my heart. This is the kind of joy that God, through Jesus Christ, gives. And so what this is talking about is a victory here in this moment. Because in verse 4 and verse 5, it talks about a supernatural work of God, much like the nation's deliverance when Gideon brought victory in a place called Midian. And so when you receive victory, and when you experience victory, isn't it an amazing thing? Like, burdens are lifted. You're leaving this place of defeat and being broken down and being hurt to a place of freedom, to a place of liberation, to a place of hope, yes, again, and to a place of victory. Why should we trust in Jesus? I want you to know, because Jesus is victory. He's victory. We're jumping in the book of Revelation in like 3 weeks. The book of Revelation is summarized in this way: Jesus was, is, and forever will be completely victorious. And we can't guarantee that all the things in your life are going to happen perfectly, but we can guarantee, because God's word proclaims to us that victory that is found in Jesus. Being on the road this past month, we literally left June 21st and we got back July 21st. And so being on the road, I'll just tell you, for me, it was a flashback to my childhood. My dad was one of those old school revival preachers. And every summer of my childhood, literally, we were on the road for 2 months. I never spent any time playing baseball with my friends during the summer because we hit the road. My parents, when we were together during this time away, we were at the beach, and my dad reminded me of a story where I hooked him up. We were driving literally from Canada all the way to like Chicago or something. We were driving through Montana. My dad was driving a little too fast. He ended up getting pulled over. Now, y'all remember, some of y'all back in the day, the big station wagons, and you didn't have to wear seatbelts back then. And so me and my brother, younger brother, that was like, you know, our room. Like, we had toys. We made it from New Orleans all the way up to Canada, all the way to Chicago, back down for an entire summer, preaching all over the place in the back of that station wagon. And we didn't mind, not one bit, because we would switch from, like, you know, Transformers to UFC fighting any moment. And so we had a lot of fun. So me and my brother in the back, my dad gets pulled over. And the police officer's an older man, and he's beginning to kind of tell my dad, you're going too fast. And then he told me that I rose up to the occasion. And I stuck my head through the window, and back then my whole family's from South Africa. I had a little bit of an accent. And I just put my head through the window, and I looked at this grandpa, and I said, excuse me, we're going to grandpa's house. Immediately, this police officer just melted right there on the pavement, forgot about the speeding ticket, and said, be safe, slow down. So I hooked my dad up. That's why, listen, I think I've been pulled over 12 times in my life. My dad's never been able to be mad at me because I got him out of a speeding ticket. Listen to me. I want you to know this, that as we're on this journey called life, when God's given you a big dream, I know that it's difficult when you're in the here to the there moment and you're not there yet. But in the first place, look to Jesus. Listen to me. Jesus is hope. Secondly, trust in Jesus. Jesus is victory. And yes, I know you might be losing some battles right now. I know you might be failing right now. Yes, I know that dream that God's given to you is so far away from you right now. But listen to me, in Christ Jesus, you might lose some battles. You cannot lose the war. In Christ Jesus, you don't fight for victory, you fight from victory. And so look to Jesus, trust in Jesus. This victory is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 through 57, where Paul declares to the church in Corinth, when the perishable meets the imperishable, the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Everybody say victory. The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor in this season between the here and the there, what is declared? Your labor is not in vain. You are laying up treasures in heaven when you are working for Team Jesus. Which brings us, because of his victory, the third and final point. Look to Jesus, trust in Jesus, enjoy Jesus. Enjoy Jesus. Here in this text, we see Isaiah proclaim about our beautiful Jesus. And in verse 6 and verse 7, it says, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts," maybe will possibly do it. No. "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." The guaranteed victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here explained in this text, Jesus will be of the people of God. He came to walk among us. Anyone thankful for Emmanuel, God with us? That we didn't have to go to him, he came to us. Here in this text, it proclaims that he will be the ruler over the people of God. And he will rule in this way. Not all rulers are good. But the way in which this ruler is described is so good. He will be Wonderful Counselor. He will be Mighty God. He will be Everlasting Father. He will be the Prince of Peace. That is how he will rule. In this text, it also says that Jesus will establish and will uphold peace and justice. He will be in control. We don't make Jesus Lord. He is Lord. And lastly, it's a declaration that Jesus will be forever. Why today are we called in this moment in between here and there, the not yet? Why are we called to enjoy Jesus? May I proclaim to you, because today this prophecy in Isaiah has been fulfilled. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. We're no longer sitting waiting. He is here. Can I share with you what my favorite part of this past month was? We did some fun things. Go back and watch on my Instagram the moment when Bolt was blobbed. I mean, he was scarred a little, but it was fun. Me and the twins, we played basketball like at 11:30 at night one night. Some of the students started talking smack to the Wilton brothers. And so Bolt was blobbing again. He was doing the slide. And so I grabbed the twins and we found some third graders. And it was me, Mac, and Burke against 3 third graders. And I said, listen to me, brothers. You're hard on them, I'm hard on you. So if they blocked his shot, I obliterated theirs. And it came down and it was game point. I pulled the twins behind. I said, here's the play, brothers. Let's run this. I said, Mac, you're going to pass the ball in. Then I'm going to pass it back to you. I'm going to go over and set a pick on Burke's man. Burke, you've been hot today. I need you to flash up to the high post. And when you get the ball, I need you to drain that shot. You never guess what happened. Burke drained the shot. It was awesome, man. Like, it was unbelievable. The crowds went wild. Coach Krzyzewski's already contacted me. But listen, we had a lot of fun. Listen, I spoke on some amazing stages. I was with all the high school and middle school students that are going to lead FCAs almost at every school in the state of North and South Carolina. And I got to preach at a church outside of Atlanta that's just blown up. They're about the same age as our church, about 1,200 people, and it was an amazing thing to be there. I got to begin this new journey in Orlando that we're partnering together in, and I'm so nervous, but I'm also so excited, and it's nothing like I've ever seen before, but I'm trusting the Lord and His call. And so all these things, and I can tell you about all these great things, but can I tell you what was the most incredible part of this last month? It was that I got to be with my family. That was it. You can have the stage. You can have the blobs. You can have all these other things. You can have the mountains. You can have the beach. You can have all these other things. I've learned very quickly in my life, I'm nothing without my honey bun who's sitting here on the front row. My beautiful wife, Annabeth, and those 4 beautiful kids that the Lord has blessed me with. May I submit to you in this moment that for some of y'all, as you are thinking about the there while you are here, some of y'all might have forgotten about your first love. And may I encourage you here in this moment to enjoy Jesus. Jesus is here. He loves you so much. He wants you to be with Him. Listen, if you are being stretched and pulled and you're like, I don't know how this is going to work out, God. You've birthed a dream in my heart. There's no way I can do this. And you find yourself over this past week praying a lot. Ding, ding, ding. Jesus is winning. Because when we pray, what's the purpose of prayer? It's not to get anything from God. It's to be with God. And He ultimately wants you to enjoy Him. And so He's put you at this place where your back's against the wall because you're not going to turn to some sort of quick fix. You're not going to turn to this advisor. You're not going to turn to this counselor. You're not going to turn to anything else in this world. You're going to turn to Him. And that at the core is what God is all about. He wants us to love God and love people. That's His aim. I want you to know that Jesus is here. This prophecy in Isaiah has been fulfilled. And I pray that you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Will you give your life to Jesus? We're about to jump in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, look at it on the screen. It says, John, to the 7 churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings of the earth, to Him who loves us, who has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom of priests, to be His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then check out this. Verse 7, behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him. Even so, amen. For it is declared in verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Look to Jesus, Vintage Church. Trust in Jesus, Vintage Church. Enjoy Jesus.